Dawn Jackson Blattner is our favorite nutritionist and dietitian who makes you feel good about the food you eat. That's the way I introduce you, Dawn. Do you like that?
I like it. I'm taking notes, actually. I'm like, maybe that needs to be my new tagline. I love it. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I just think dietitian means eat less food, dieting. That's what people think. And nutrition means eat smart, but that's boring or not pleasant. But you always make us feel good about the food we eat. And I think that's an angle that makes you very popular.
Well, hey, you know what? Thank you. I mean, really and truly, I did get into this to feel better. Like, I really was like, wow, food is magic. That, you know, when you change what you're putting in your body, you can feel either very bad or very good. Like, I really believe in the power of food. But there is a way to do it, like you're implying. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be miserable. It really can be a good time. And in fact, it only works when you're having a good time. It only works when you're having fun. It only works when you enjoy it, because that activates your natural motivation system. That if you don't want to do something, it's very hard to keep doing it. If you do like what you're eating, you do like how you're exercising, you feel good, you enjoy it, well, you naturally want to do more of it.
Do you then, can I parlay or translate that into New Year's resolution tips?
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, this is our first time talking in 2024, and I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't address New Year's resolution.
Okay, so what have you got for me?
Okay, well, hey, you know what? I went around looking to say, okay, what are the stats? You know, things are changing, people are changing. What really are the resolutions that most people are making? And it's about the same stuff. The top five resolutions: improve diet, improve fitness, lose weight. And then in that top five are also a couple that are probably more important these days, and that's improving finances and improving mental health. So those, the finances and mental health, actually jockeyed up a little bit higher to the top than usual, and I think we all know why. So those are the top five. And here's what in the surveys I found to be the most interesting and what I'm latching onto. And this is, how long do these resolutions actually last? You know, everyone jokes around and says, oh my gosh, you know, it's the second day of the new year and my resolution's already bombed, you know, it's no good. But actually, people's resolutions tend to last about 8 to 12 weeks. So not very long, but longer than we usually give credit to people for doing things. But in this survey, one of the things that I think is most important for us to talk about is, okay, 8 to 12 weeks is longer than we thought, but is there anything that we can do really to make our resolutions stick around longer than just that 8 to 12 weeks, all the way through the year? And in fact, yes, there are research studies that say there's one thing that you can do that can change the trajectory of how successful you are with these resolutions. And that one thing is, you make your goals action goals rather than avoidance goals. And that's sort of mumbo-jumbo behavior science of saying, instead of thinking about all the things you want to cut out, like I got to tell you, everybody who sees me as a client, they say, oh, I want to cut out sugar. I want to cut out taking out food. I want to cut out alcohol. You know, all this stuff. Nope. Those are the worst resolutions. Those are avoidance resolutions. It's better to phrase them as positive. So instead of saying, I want to cut out sugar, you say, oh, no, what do I want to add? You know what? I want to add more fruit-based desserts, or I want to add more Greek yogurt-based desserts. Or instead of avoiding alcohol, don't say that. You say, what's my action here? I want to add more mocktails that are fun and delicious into my life. Or if you say to yourself, I want to eat less takeout or cut out all the takeout food. No, you just say, hey, I want to add one extra day of cooking at home. This positive phrasing of what you're going to add instead of what you're going to cut out will make or break how long your resolution sticks around.
I've been championing damp January instead of dry January, which isn't what you said, but that to me was a sort of moderation that would still be beneficial and wouldn't get you in the, oh, I failed mindset the first week of the new year.
Oh my gosh, John, I love that. And here is really what that is. It's something called a micro target or a micro goal, as opposed to having this huge thing that you're not going to accomplish, you're setting yourself up to fail. You set a micro target of something you really cannot fail at. So, for example, I mean, and then you build momentum. These micro targets build momentum, and it really, really works. So an example that I give, and I worked on this with a client, is really struggling to be more fit, like trying to get more fitness in her life. And what we did for her micro target is say, can you get dressed for the gym every day? Do not have to go. You don't have to go. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to walk.
Yeah.
Can you get dressed for it? And honestly, this, she's like, oh, are you kidding me? This is the dumbest thing. How am I going to be more fit just getting on the clothes and taking them off? Well, guess what? That starts your momentum. If you can get the clothes on for 7 days in a row, by the eighth day, you're going to be like, forget it. I'm just going to go to the gym, or I'm just going to get out there and do a walk. And then the micro target is a 2-minute walk. Not can I walk for a half hour? Not can I go to the gym for an hour? You're just trying to build momentum. And this momentum will soon take you very, very far. And you'll become a great habitualized exerciser if you sort of ramp up in this micro targeted way.
I was walking down the stairs after work last night. We go down on Columbus Avenue here and then to Lower Columbus Avenue. So it's a spiraling set of steps. And as I was going down, I saw a woman coming up. And she had on athletic wear, looks like yoga outfit with the shoes. And she was carrying her mat. And she had all the trappings of somebody who is walking to or from some place to go do that exercise. And I thought, oh, that looks like work. I mean, all of this effort to pack that stuff up and put on those clothes and then go somewhere through the cold and down the stairs to go do the exercise and then come back. She was in the midst of that. And I don't know how this necessarily relates to what you just said, but it looked to me like a lot of effort.
Yep. And I got to tell you, the number one thing that is going to make or break it is how much she was enjoying that. If she's like, oh, my gosh. You know, I can't wait to go do yoga. It's one of my favorite things to do. I have two friends in this yoga class. I can't wait to catch up. This yoga class has some of the most calming, peaceful music. I really need that from a stressful day. She is going to be able to keep up that habit if her attitude is one of true, not making yourself enjoy it, but true enjoyment.
Yeah.
But if it feels like, yeah, I'm so cold, I hate lugging this yoga mat around, that is the worst exercise that person could possibly do. Even if your doctor prescribes you to do it, it's like, no, you have to do the exercise that you like the best, you know? And so it could be, you know, it's yoga on an app on your computer that's free that you do in your house in your pajamas for 5 minutes before you go out into the world and work. You know, there's always a solution that is a micro target that can get you set up for success.
I was thinking about exercises because I saw recently that if you do planks, that's a really good kind of exercise to do. And the videos of planking have gone away, but it's still a very good thing to do. In fact, they said for some reason, I don't know why, for your heart health and for blood pressure maybe. But anyway, I was thinking about doing, so I'm doing planks a little bit now in my regimen. Not a lot, but I'm getting back to it. Another exercise that I just was playing around with was what my son used to do when he was training as a high school athlete for baseball. They would tell him to stand on one foot for a minute. And if that sounds easy to you, try it. But in the process, I think what you end up doing to control your balance is you're doing a lot of core tightening and flexing. I'll stop talking now, but what do you think of those two ideas I just shared with you?
I'm over here in my office clapping, standing ovation, because what I love the most about what you're talking about is this curiosity. If you didn't sign up to do a planking challenge, you have to do this many planks and this many days and this and this. You said, you know what? Let me see. Can I add a plank to what I'm already doing? How long can I do it for? Interesting. I wonder if tomorrow I can do it for an extra 3 seconds. Oh, this is interesting. What about? And so you're letting curiosity guide you. You're like, oh, I remember when my son is standing on the plank. I wonder how that feels. Wow, I really can feel like this is doing something. Balance is not as easy as I thought it would be. This is a great challenge I can add to my day. I love this stuff. And it's really coming from a positive place. But yet, they're very effective. If you were to put an extra plank in a day, you, no matter how long it is, you were to stand on one foot and then stand on the other, you're exactly right. That is great for aging. We definitely need help with balance as we age. So those are great little micro targets. I love it. Actually, I'm doing something pretty similar. I'm great at going to the gym. I love it. I love the music. I love the people. But I said, you know what, I'm going to put on, after I go to my gym class, I'm going to do a little bit extra walking. So no, just let's just be curious about that. Can I go for 5 minutes? How does that feel? Oh, today I have extra time. I'll go for a mile. The idea of just tacking on a habit to something you're already doing is a great idea. So if you're already making coffee in the morning, tack on that standing on one leg balancing, and then go to the other leg and balancing. And then every day you make coffee, you have now tacked on a new habit. It's basically called habit waves. And if you take something you already do and add something new to it, you're more likely to stick with it. I've got one of those also with coffee. I love coffee in the morning, but I'm not the greatest water drinker all day long. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tack on. I'm going to drink a glass of water before I have my cup of coffee. And then it's going to tack on a habit that's easier to stick to because, you know, I'm already drinking a coffee in the morning.
Glass of water before and in between your alcohol drinks is really a good idea, too. Just, I know I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, but I think if part of the trigger for drinking is just liquid, it's that oral thing, water sates that a little bit. I love my booze, and I know there's a big difference, but I'm just saying I have found of late that is also a really good idea. 312-981-7200, Don Jackson Blattner, the registered dietitian and nutritionist and the author of books. She's a media force. She wrote The Flexitarian Diet and The Superfood Swap, is on a phone line, ready to answer your questions. You ready to go, Don?
I am ready. And hey, you know that my flexitarian diet, U.S. News and World Report today came out and said it's a top five diet in the U.S. So how about that?
What are the principles of the flexitarian diet?
Okay, so it's a flexible vegetarian. So you still eat meat, you still eat chicken and fish and all that, but you pay more attention to eating, you know, my favorite, beans and lentils, nuts and seeds and those plant-based proteins like edamame. I love it. It's very flexible, which, you know, is my thing.
Do you have hard rules like, okay, meat on 3 days, but that's all?
No, people want me to have hard rules. They've always pressured me for it, but I'm like, no. It's just wherever you're at, it's just trying to have one extra meal that has some beans or lentils in it. Whether or not you even take the chicken out or the meat out, I don't even care. Just are you adding some more plant proteins into your life? And, of course, all types of plants like colorful fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, all that.
Can you please ask Dawn Jackson Blattner her opinion about the carnivore diet?
Oh, okay. So carnivore diet, for anybody who doesn't know, is very heavily influenced by eating a lot of animal-based proteins, a lot of meat. The issue is that people are very into this because they feel like, oh my gosh, I'm losing weight. You know, my blood work is looking better. However, when you look at cultures, this is the most important thing I do when I'm reading research and I'm looking at people's success. What are people who are living the longest, healthiest lives eating? And they're eating a Mediterranean diet, which is not a carnivore diet. So I stand in, you know, everybody can make their own food decisions, but if you're really looking for a long life and what people are doing, they're eating fish, they're having a little bit of chicken and beef, they're eating tons of fruits and vegetables, they have whole grains in their diet. So that's more where I stand, longevity and health.
You know how you talk to us about reading labels, something below 5% is good. If it's over 20%, it's bad, if it's a bad thing. Does the protein gram amount translate to double the daily requirement? For instance, do 8 grams equal 16% of the daily requirement? Do you know any formula like that, Dawn?
Yeah, so here is the biggest thing with protein. It is that when something is 20% protein on your label, that would be a higher protein item. If it's 5% protein, that would be a lower protein item. So you can decide if it's high or low, except the biggest issue with this is the baseline that they, actually the labeling people, right, they are using very low protein targets, very low protein targets. And all experts, especially in aging and active adults, which is what I'm very interested in, active aging adults, how to do it well, protein requirements are much higher than what the label is using. So a better sort of frame of reference is for most meals, trying to aim to get about 30 grams of protein, more or less. Some people are going to need more than that, some people are going to need a little less than that, but 30 grams is an interesting target. Times 3 meals a day would ensure that you're getting at least 90 grams of protein in your day. And it sounds intimidating, but it really isn't. Breakfast is the hardest one. And if you were going to make any resolution about protein, it would be wake up and see if you can get close to 30 grams of protein in your breakfast. So oatmeal is not a high protein breakfast. But if you have oatmeal made with milk, which has protein, and you have a half of a little cup of Greek yogurt on the side with berries, now we're talking. Now that's getting to be closer to that 30 grams. Or if you're somebody who thinks, oh, I'm scrambling an egg. Look at me and my high protein breakfast. You'll be shocked that an egg only has 6 grams of protein. So if you're trying to get to 30, it's a couple of eggs scrambled with spinach, of course, and then a side of like cottage cheese and berries to try and get your protein a little bit higher.
Are raisins
so, yes,
high,
you can use the label, are there any but it's better.
Are there any fruits that are high in protein?
No, fruits traditionally are just wonderful for potassium and vitamin C and awesome in fiber in particular. I've got to say, berries and pears are very high in fiber. If you're anybody out there working on that, those are great things to add to your routine. But they're not notoriously good as a high protein source.
Don, our Bob Surratt was talking about peaches. He ran into a thing that said that peaches, of all of the fruits, may be the very best, healthiest, broadest-based fruit you can eat. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's impossible to say one fruit is going to help you because people will be in the bear camp and they'll show you all the research about berries. Then people will be in the watermelon and cherry camp. They'll show you all the research about that. So at the end of the day, it really goes back to this coolest research ever on produce ever is that it's 30 plants a week is what you're trying to get in terms of variety. So if you are somebody who reads that peaches are good for you and you just start eating a peach a day, and you're not eating berries, and you're not eating all other, melons and pears and all the things, you're doing yourself a big disservice. So really trying to get variety. And in fact, 30 different plants in your diet each week, those are the people who have the best, most robust, healthiest gut. And gut health, we know, is linked to lower inflammation, better cognitive health, really just the gamut.
Is it okay to eat cheese? Is there a more healthy cheese to eat?
The only cheese I would avoid are cheese products, like American cheese is not really cheese. Otherwise, having like a slice of cheese with a pear, for example, is a great snack. But if you are somebody who is just eating cheese, and not rounding it out with any fruits or vegetables, you're probably running into being a cheeseaholic, which is no good. A little cheese is good. Too much cheese, not so good.
What do you think about powdered peanut butter as a snack or peanut butter in general?
Okay, I love peanut butter. I think it is a wonderful food. And I encourage people who are trying to get more protein to stir it in a little bit of peanut butter, whether that's powder or regular, into like a Greek yogurt, 2% plain, so that you end up having a very high peanut butter tasting, but protein thing that you could have is like a dip with your apple, for example, or your celery or your carrot stick.
Dawn, we're out of time. You talked about your clients a little while ago. So are you a personal nutritionist? That is, do people in the Chicago area hire you to do what you do for us on the radio?
Yes, actually. So my website that you always talk about and I appreciate so much, DawnJacksonBlattner.com, is all my information if anybody does want to chat individually.
Okay. Or corporations. I understand that you also do business seminars or group discussions. Is that right?
Oh, that's probably my sweet spot. I love a good presentation any day of the week. I do dancing even on the stage for those.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com, at DJ Blattner on Instagram, DawnJacksonBlattner.com. Happy New Year, Dawn, and thank you again.
Happy New Year.